There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. And yeah, we roll on an Ash Wednesday. Yeah, it's the tough day to get back into things after a big fat Tuesday, but we're doing it here. And of course, you're a big part of the show. On the text line at 251-343-0106. Same phone number for the for a phone call, too. Although I'm remote today, we still can do phone calls, though. 251-343-0106. And you can check us out, of course, with the FM Talk 106.5 app. Leave us a talkback message. Set up at the Waterfront Restaurant here in Daphne today, overlooking Dolly Bay, looking at the Bayway and the Causeway, and ready to talk with you. So we'll talk some Mardi Gras on today's show and a lot more coming up throughout the hour. Then at 1 o'clock, Scuttlebutt Radio Network takes over. Tom Claxton takes over with our show for veterans by veterans. So don't miss that coming up in just a little bit. All right, our leadoff batter today. And that's good because I have lost all telecommunications on this side, so maybe you can help me through. You can listen to the music of Wasted Bacon anywhere good music is played, and we're waiting for maybe a new single to come out soon. Also, read his work in the Tennessean. Check him out and his film work with the Ballad of Davy Crockett, and keep up with him on social media because he's an all-around good guy, entertaining guy, and good to come on the show with me. Ladies and gentlemen, the crowd goes wild for Cameron Smith. Hey, man.
Hey, buddy. Widespread Twerking is going to make its debut. I'm working through the lyrics right now. I'm trying to get some congressional voiceovers in. It has the makings of a hit. I just know it.
And this is, if people didn't hear us talk last week, this is often, you can read your piece in the Tennessean on this, that one of your representatives there in Tennessee was going to take time out of the busy spending deficit money that the Congress is doing to investigate Bad Bunny or something like this?
Oh yes. Representative Andy Ogles wanted to have the Energy and Commerce Committee do an investigation as to when NBC Universal knew what hip gyrations were happening and to what degree those gyrations were, so that we could get to the bottom of Bad Bunny. To which I just responded, one, there was a staffer who had to write the phrase widespread twerking.
Twerking, yes.
In a letter. And two, this is just laugh out loud silly. And I understand our politics have kind of gotten that way, but the idea of we are so upset and offended by Bad Bunny and that we have to only turn to Kid Rock. And it's that kind of stuff that just, come on, man, like, let's do better.
All right, so we will be watching or listening out for the, I'm sure to be hit single, Widespread Twerking from Wasted Bacon.
Yep.
Let me know when that goes up, and we'll give it a spin or two here on the show. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know. I'm going to try to make it family friendly because, you know, sometimes Widespread Twerking, you know, explicit lyrics, you get that.
That for sure. Let's see. On the flip side of what our government is doing, and there's been a lot of talk about the response from AOC, but you had the Munich Security Conference going on, and it's rare that I get to sit and listen to a full anything, right? Other than music from Wasted Bacon, but I listened to the speech given by Marco Rubio, And I'll say it this way. I think I wrote down a note for you. That Rubio kid gives a pretty good speech. He's pretty smart. I thought that was good. That was aspirational U.S. policy. I thought that was something to pay attention to.
Yeah. First of all, this to me, I don't like the word historic or anything like that, but this to me is a marker of where I think there's a pivot point for Marco Rubio. Obviously, the Trump era is dominated by one man, Donald Trump, who is authentically unique and different. He is not infinite. And so the next presidential candidate will not be Donald Trump. And I think that based on that speech, I think it got a lot of people looking and saying, you know what? Rubio is different. He is somebody that can lead well during the Trump administration. There is literally a meme that he has taken on every possible job under the sun. And I think he is positioning himself with that speech incredibly well to be the next Republican nominee for president of the United States.
Yeah, we talk about this, too, and people that are they're fans of Donald Trump and the MAGA movement. I often ask, you know, is it all just the vessel of Donald Trump, or is there anything without Donald Trump? And to listen to Rubio and his messaging, an America First message, and one to Europe about quit kowtowing, we're brothers in arms here. Be part of this. Don't be embarrassed for yourself. Don't be embarrassed for our history. It was to me a MAGA message in a way that I think is so robust it carries on beyond Trump. I don't even know that that's the complete MAGA brand I get from President Trump, but I thought from Rubio was great. Now, I want you to kind of give me your take on that, and then we can talk about can he win.
Yeah, I think the obvious thing is the contrast with J.D. Vance. You can't miss it.
Because that's what we got to do, right? This is it. This is what we're talking about. It's head-to-head. Is it Rubio? Is it Vance?
And I look at this, a similar speech, very radically different tone. Vance has adopted the poke him in the eye approach. He thinks that's sort of the MAGA legacy is, well, poke him in the eye. And both these men are incredibly gifted, talented, intelligent people. So they are capable of regulating their tone in any way they want. Vance is poke him in the eye. What we saw from Rubio was, hey, we are where we are, but we can do this together. It was conciliatory. It was, hey, let's build and, let's fight for those values that make us different than the rest of the world. Remember, liberty, self-governance, these are the things that we care about. Let's go there. It seemed almost one has taken a tact of angry MAGA, and Rubio's approach is positive building MAGA. And I think that positive building path will ultimately be more successful. Do I think Rubio can win? In short, yes.
You do? Lessons, okay.
Yes. The lessons learned from the Trump era are you'd better be authentic. You'd better be yourself and not try to be someone you're not. I think that actually hurts Vance. Because Vance, as you'll recall, has done a complete 180 on Trump. He went from a Trump attacker to now Trump's greatest acolyte. He's very much saying, I'm the heir apparent of this whole movement. Rubio has simply gotten to work. And I think that will be the difference maker. And I think he's going to have an opportunity to win because Rubio has taken his lumps. He has said, I didn't have what it took. I had my awkward water moment. I wasn't ready for prime time. And now I've gone and worked for the Trump administration. I've done everything they've asked, and I've rolled up my sleeves, gotten dirty, done it. So nobody can say that I was just riding coattails or wasn't doing the work. I was part of the administration. I did a great job. Let's look at my track record versus J.D. Vance's. And I think that's going to be compelling. The wild card here is Ron DeSantis. Is he going to make another run, or is he going to say, hey, I'm going to get behind a Rubio or a Vance? I don't know the answer, But it seems to me, in a head-to-head versus Rubio Vance, it's going to be a good matchup. It's going to be a close call. If DeSantis gets in, I don't know. I think he probably takes away from Rubio more than
Vance. Mm-hmm. 100% so, agree. We'll see. Yeah, okay, so, and this is the tough part here, though. It's the, and I agree, I think, and I don't agree with Rubio on everything. I know it's shocking to people. I'd say this about different people we talk about on the show. The president, there's some things about foreign interventionism that I think he's probably a little more friendly to than I am, but I think he's a statesman. I don't know, my problem is, coming out of, you know, the 4 years of President Trump, will somebody who is, and I say this, Not derogatory, but mild-mannered. Not meaning he isn't tough, he isn't smart, but he doesn't have that tough guy thing. Will people be able to look through that? I mean, I hope they can. I hope you know, decide, like, who's going to be the most efficient person at the job. But I wonder if that's going to hurt him. The even if it's not true, but it seems like he's the nicer guy of the two.
Yeah, I don't think that Rubio has a problem being nice in being incapable of being firm. He's striking the right tone that is a peaceful strength. And truthfully, it's sort of a Reagan-esque type strength. It is affable, likable. But I certainly don't think that he's a pushover. And again, he's rolled up his sleeves, done the work, and he's thrown down when he needed to. The challenge for me is that we quickly forget how uncomfortable some of these and awkward some of these candidates are when you put them on the primetime stage. I think Rubio's had enough of those primetime moments. Frankly, I think Vance has had many of those primetime moments. DeSantis, on the other hand, if you'll recall, the last time he ran, he just looked uncomfortable the entire time, like someone was making him run for president, and he didn't really want the job. So my hope is that DeSantis, although I'm a big fan, love him as governor of Florida, that he's had his run, he stands down and let Vance and Rubio duke it out, because I think that would be a good choice for the Republican Party to work between those two and kind of figure out where the dust needs to settle. My money right now on a head-to-head would be Rubio, but we got a long way to go.
Let's talk about this, too, as you look forward what's happening between now and election time, even though it's always election time, but kind of the state of the Congress right now, partial shutdown going on. Of course, you know, Mobile survived. We're in a partial shutdown for Mardi Gras. We survived that to Ash Wednesday. I keep asking this question. Is it going to be to where all the teeth are out of a shutdown? I mean, for me, it's kind of, I'm post that, too. We're like, oh, there could be a shutdown. I'm like, yeah, we survived all the others. What's going on there? What's Mike Johnson's problem?
The shutdown doesn't scare anybody anymore. It doesn't really matter. We know that there's actually laws in place that require back pay once we kind of get over it. And we've always gotten over it, whether it's a month, you know, a little bit longer than that. We're not going to shut down the government for 6 months or a year. Everybody knows it. So there's just kind of this, oh, it's a threat, it's a bad thing, and then we end up funding the government, spending the money. Because in Washington, given the options of spending the money or not spending it, we will always spend it. And I think that's where, until we get a new crop of leaders or a new crop of Americans who say, you know what, this is really hurting us and it's going to take away good things we like because we can't say no to just okay spending that we don't really care about. I mean, we are on autopilot to spend more and more. And it's not even on great things that we really want. It's just the inertia of government. Until we really address this, it's just going to be ugly, and we're going to do the same thing again.
And here's the problem. It's going to be have to be something horrible before it's done, because if President Trump and then having Elon Musk come in with Doge and all that couldn't solve this problem, how is this ever going to happen with another administration? I mean, it's going to have to be some catastrophe of a federal bankruptcy and before they address it. And I mean, Chicken Little, they call me Chicken Little forever on this, but I've been squawking about it for 16 plus years on this radio station. Do they not see it? Do the American people go, hey, man, instead of me getting something today, I'd like my republic to be solvent tomorrow?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the problem, is there are no consequences. There are no, we don't throw them out of office. We say the problem was the other party. It's not the person we vote for. That person, they want to spend less. But that's just actually all false, right? And I've been on the Hill. I can tell you the issue is that no one wants to do the work of saying this spending and not that. They paint in broad strokes because it's easier. Let's fund this agency, not fund this one. And when we get down to the line item of anti-lock brakes for Jeeps, most members of Congress, they can't be bothered with, I don't know, doing their job. And that's why this fails. It's agency on, agency off, not, hey, are we actually looking at the granular spending? Are we using our staff to really peruse this and make sure that we're making good decisions here? The answer is just emphatically no. And it's not just Democrats, it's Republicans too. And until we recognize that and are willing to throw our elected officials out on their tails, then why would you ever cut spending? Because there's no cost for being wasteful.
Well said. Cameron, as always, I appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you again next week and get back to work on that new hit single. Sure to be hit single.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, there goes Cameron Smith, and we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile. We are live at the Waterfront Restaurant in Daphne. Do this show till 1, and then under duress, but maybe some good choices here. I'll let Tom Claxton take over at 1. Go into the text line when we return.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We are live at Daphne at the Waterfront Restaurant. I enjoy this view and also enjoy the food a whole bunch. I'll be chowing down while Tom Claxton starts the Scuttlebutt Radio Network at 1 o'clock. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And you think about this, maybe spring cleaning comes. Well, it feels like spring today. Spring cleaning come a little early. Get the junk out of your house, storage unit, wherever you got it. Also outside the house. You know, a lot of us think about, and I've only used my buddy Trey and 1-800-GOT-JUNK for cleaning inside of places. We did a storage unit with the radio station, which was awesome, and did it at a house that I was selling years ago. That was fantastic, but he reminds me to remind you that he can take on the big projects as well outside the house. Giant trampoline, he can handle that. Above ground swimming pool, he can handle that. Swing set, he can handle that. Storage building, he can handle that too. So all that stuff, junk in your life, you want it gone, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And if you've been thinking, well, we'll get around to it, the best way to get around to it and get it done here in this new year is to pick up the phone. Their name is the number. Give them a call at 1-800-GOT-JUNK or the website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. They'll find a day that works for you, a time that works for you, set an appointment, and all you got to do when they get there is point at the junk you want gone, they quote your price right there on the spot, and get to work right away. So check them out. My buddy Trey, 18-plus years doing this in Mobile and Baldwin County. Awesome work. It is 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, and I'm sorry I missed this earlier. Matthew, traffic update, 65 northbound at exit 15. That's Celeste Road exit. Traffic's backed up, and at a standstill, 65 north of Celeste, headed towards Satsuma and Criolla. I don't know if that's gotten better since Matthew gave me the text. I'm sorry I did not get on it earlier, but we'll check back on that. But, Matthew, thanks for the update there. Let's see. This from, I think, unnamed texter. Let's see. Said, hey, Sean, Jeff spoke of an issue on his show, gambling. I'm opposed to gambling. If I thought I could win Powerball, that's one thing. The logic is going to Florida or Mississippi, then why? I don't know. They're not gonna deal with gambling in this session. So you know, and I've said before when this has come up, and I've opposed it. I don't oppose it. Maybe for the reason some other people opposed it. It's the structure of what they proposed in the past. Right now, we're talking about utilities, right? We're talking about Public Service Commission and issues with utilities and non-responsiveness. Well, you want to make a, if we're going to bring gambling into the state, you want to just make it like two or three entities that control the whole thing? I mean, do you think that's going to be a better deal than letting the free market work it out? Oh, this is interesting. C.B. Carl said, Sean, since you're at the waterfront today, I thought you would like to know that today is National Drink Wine Day and National Crab Stuffed Flounder Day. Just saying. Also, tell Tomcat we said hello. I don't know about the Wine Day. Wine Day was, was yesterday. Today is the fasting day, and I'll get to the crab stuff flounder on Friday for sure. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
So, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Ash Wednesday edition, and we are live at the Waterfront Restaurant in Daphne, and we'll talk to Boss Man here in just a second. We'll talk to Boss Man first at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Let's check in with Professor Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry and get the latest on precious metals. Hey, Ron.
How you doing, sir, Sean?
I'm good. So, through this whole process, it's like, you've been educating us about precious metals for a long time. A lot more people are paying attention in class right now because of what's happening with gold and silver. So talk about it today.
Yeah, gold and silver are still back on the climb. Silver's trading right around $78 an ounce. Gold's still hovering at $5,000. So the correction affected silver more than gold. Gold's still hanging out where it was. So, I mean, kind of where everybody expects it to be. It's hard to tell the future, Sean. If we all had crystal balls, we'd all be rich. But I still think silver and gold are good hedges. It's a good way to offset any possible losses in your portfolio, which is what a hedge has always been meant for.
Yeah. I've always pointed that out to folks when they talk to me about you. I said, listen, here's a guy in the business of selling precious metals, and he comes in and says, don't do all precious metals. It's part of what you do. Do not, you get people out there, they're like, I'm going to put everything, look at the price, I'm going to put everything I got in silver. You don't recommend that.
No. I don't recommend everybody put in all their eggs in one basket of any type, whether it's a stock or anything else. You want to be diversified as much as possible.
Now, but this, the interesting part, though, we talk about silver and gold, like a news headline will come out and say, well, precious metals off 1.3% over the trading from the day. But I'm just a simpleton. I just go back to look at, 365 days ago.
Yeah.
It puts in perspective that, it's down a little bit. I was like, well, go back to like August and tell me it's down a little bit.
Yeah, and it's kind of, it says a lot about it when the new low is in the 70s, when before this, the new low was in the 30s. So, the kind of definitely adjusted up to close to where it needs to be. I know a lot of people would like to see silver trading higher, but a lot of the experts, and myself included, feel that silver should be trading somewhere in the 70s, and that's where it's trading. And a slow increase from there is a good thing. A fast increase from there is a bad thing that people should watch out for. You want slow and steady increases on all your investment platforms. Anything goes up too fast, it's got to make you worry.
Yeah, we think alike on that. All right, tell folks whether they're buying or selling precious metals how to find you.
We're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can find us on the web at mobilebaycoins.com or just give us a call at 251-725-1590.
Hey, good stuff. We'll talk soon.
See you, Sean.
Hey, thanks, Ron. All right, and we are live at the Waterfront Restaurant here in Daphne, and Boss Man Panini Pete is here. Good to see you, brother.
What is happening? How are you today, Sean?
I'm good. Do I need to adjust those up or down?
Yeah, I think I don't hear myself.
You don't hear yourself? I can hear you.
There it is. There you go. There it is. Now I can hear myself.
Okay, good. So you get, look at that. Your volume level's about where mine is.
Ah, okay.
So what's wrong with your ears?
Are we both deaf?
Yeah, very much so.
I'm old. What's your excuse?
Yeah, I'm old, too. Yeah. So I'd love to see you here, too. So this is, people talking about Ash Wednesday, man. They're like, man, I don't know if I should have gone to work today, take it off today. The rest of us were goofing for Mardi Gras, and people were wondering about getting up. Y'all were working, and you're still here grinding on a Wednesday.
Yeah, it's so funny because, Mardi Gras is obviously a huge tradition here, and everybody has a lot of fun. The weather was so good this year, that last week, so all of our restaurants were extremely busy, everybody. Right now they're like, okay, Mardi Gras over. Let's get back to work. And we're like, really? Mardi Gras over? We get to kind of try to have a breather.
Yeah.
Even though we stay in it, it's been crazy the last week. All of the restaurants.
And that's the thing. And it's not like with what y'all do, it's not like you just have, it's one brand. You have these restaurants that are very different from each other.
Absolutely.
Completely and they're unique. Yeah. And which is, you think about like, most restaurant people goes, okay, we do a thing. We make a whatever. And then we're going to make that thing and we're going to put that in different places. You go, we've got a concept here. And then we're going to put a concept there. That's different,
then,
man.
Know, then there's people like, you know, Nick and I that like to do things the hard way.
Right. Yeah, I see that.
We do. But when opportunities present themselves, you look for what can we do there? You know, sometimes there's a good deal available in a good market, and you think, what would fit there? Not let's take our round peg and plug it into the square hole because it doesn't always work.
And think about that. You kind of reverse engineer from the space or the location and what should go there.
Yeah, and the market. Even with Panini Pete's, you know, we just celebrated our 20-year anniversary.
Congratulations, brother.
And thank you so much. And, you know, a lot of it was looking at that spot. It was affordable. I thought, you know, it would take me at least a year to go completely broke. And I think if I had a year, I had a good chance of being successful.
Right.
But I looked at that market and I studied, you know, Mary Ann's and Andre's and Ben's Jr. and everybody that was in that market in that lunch segment and said, not, oh, I'm going to make a better chicken salad or I'm going to do better this. What can I do different to offer this community? And we've done that for the, you know, 20 years. And the cool thing, too, though, is we got 40 minutes between our furthest west and our furthest, you know, southeast. So we can literally be in every restaurant every day and typically.
True. Yeah. You don't have to like get on a plane and travel to get there. But at the same time, it does take 40 some odd minutes to get between place to place. So y'all get spread out.
Got stops in between.
Yeah. True. That is true. But I'm thinking about where we're sitting here, too, with the launch of the waterfront. You know, we've been talking about this a couple years now. And this is a location that is just. The view is so awesome. Now, and follow me here. Y'all could serve food, but the view's awesome.
Right.
So you could,
right.
But y'all came in here, and you didn't just take the view for granted. You have a fantastic menu to complement it.
Right. We look to enhance that view. You know, the
I could eat macaroni and cheese
there.
Looking at this. You know what I'm saying? Like I could eat cheese sandwich and be digging this.
And you do. We got one cooking for you.
There you go. Good.
But, you know, you look at that and you go, that's our standard. You know, and that's what we did at Water down at Sunset Point, too, is going, there's the standard there. How do we carry that throughout our hospitality and our food, our service, our facility? And, you know, this place has been underutilized and underappreciated for a long time. It's been a long time since the old Lake Forest Yacht Club was really something special. But the, you know, Property Owners Association, you know, stepped up after COVID and did a pretty significant remodel. And
the place is gorgeous.
Yeah. Well, we came in and enhanced it quite a bit. You know, new furniture. We added all the covers on the decks and the decor and had to upgrade the kitchen. You know, most of what they did was out front. Mm-hmm. And I told everybody, it's in a massive space. It's beautiful. I said, this is like a Greyhound bus with a 4-cylinder engine. So we had to tweak, you know, so that reflects the menu. And that reflects why we took that bar and turned it into a cold app and salad station to take pressure off of that. But we have huge parties here. We have music here. It's just unbelievable. We're getting ready to really activate this waterfront with repairing some of the piers, adding a kayak launch. We're going to do little regattas with the kayaks and have races. We're planning on having – I want to run water taxis to the new amphitheater when that comes there.
That's
come here,
strong.
Park here, have dinner, jump on a boat, take a water taxi over there, go watch your show, come on back. You don't have to fight the traffic, you know, if you want to get a little nosh or a little cocktail in the meantime. So we're going to really activate that. This is a great space, and it's going to have a lot of long-term success here.
Yeah, it is fantastic. If y'all have not been, you've gotten a lot of people on the text line that have been and can't wait to come back. I do want to talk about something that bonds us together as well, and that's the veterans community here.
Absolutely.
And this thing, you know, you and I have talked forever about this, and you've stepped up forever. Stepping up for our community. There's more challenges here we saw in the last year in the legislative session than I didn't picture that coming. I didn't picture politically somebody doing something that was not in Alabama, in our state, that wasn't 100% for veterans.
Yeah, it's you get to scratch your head moment, you know, what's going on, because it was such a huge debt that we owe to our veterans, you know, those, whether they were in war times or not, you know, their service is just so invaluable. And when you see how hard they work and so much they sacrifice, and then also just coming back into civilian life, even with a short stint, with structure and a mission and a purpose and really good training and really good leadership, you know, there's a lot of places in civilian life that's just so mediocre. And, you know, and you think they slip into this life and they go to work for another company and there's, you know, everybody's belly aching and complaining and whining and, you know, backstabbing and just trying to get over. And it's like they have to go, my God, what? And they have, like, why did I do what I did?
Yeah.
So we have to take care of them, and we do owe them a service, you know, and a debt, because, man, they're there and they're doing their thing, man.
You know, I see happening. You know, I've said it so many times that when this challenge came up, I didn't realize that the rest of the state didn't have organizations like we do here. You know, it's like one of these things you don't know until I told a story last week or whatever. I remember being a freshman at the University of Alabama, and it was going into Fat Tuesday, and I said something to the professor, like, well, that she had scheduled some. I said, well, that's Fat Tuesday. She said, well, Mr. Sullivan, you're in Tuscaloosa now. You're not in Mobile. Yep. Like, oh, I guess it's not the same anywhere, everywhere. But you grow up with our veterans community here and how intertwined it is and how supported it is, and assume that it's like that in the rest of the state.
Right.
And it really, now I think, though, they've rattled the cage here, and talking to, like, Admiral Davis and others, that what's happening here is starting to be organized elsewhere in Alabama.
It takes leadership, and it takes, you know, the civilian population getting involved and support. And, you know, we have a national treasure here, and a guy named Tom Claxton.
Yes.
You know, and the scuttlebutt, him and Cal, and what they do for not just exposure through on your radio station, but they live it every day.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on the tip of the spear, you know, involved in everything and just representing so well. And also good at communicating how needy the veteran community is.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many people out there that need services. It's a shame that it's not mandatory when they get out of the service to say part of this is you will have these social services. You don't
agree.
Have to ask. We are going to assume you need it, and we're going to help you transition into that new life.
Yeah, because they don't, because a lot of times they don't ask.
Right.
You know, and yeah. They, I mean, that's kind of warrior code, you know. And
absolutely. And even in society, you know, people tend to, oh, you know, it's embarrassment or, you know, machismo, mm-hmm. whatever. But, you know, with what, especially if they've been at war, my God, you know, the things that they've had to prepare to do and witness, and the brother, you know, that they may have lost in battle, and the injuries, mental and physical. So it's like, man, let's just support them all we can.
Yeah.
And keep rallying, because we need to help each other.
Yeah, 100%. The way I always look at it is, what I'm talking about is, I said, y'all entered into a contract. When you signed up to serve our country, you put your life on the line. You did this deal. You don't have free will when you enter the military.
No, you do not.
So in any contract, if you and I are negotiating something, now you've given me this free will. Now what do I give you in return? So all I'm asking for agencies at a federal level, state level, is to live up to the other side of the contract. It's contract law.
Amen.
I mean, these are the things that, this is the deal. So you do the things that are in the deal. You don't breach the contract.
Absolutely. That's a simple way of looking at it. And
I'm a simple guy.
And it's great. That's the way it should be. And I think the better that we do, the more we can accomplish and the more we can take care of them. Also, it's an easier path for current and future members of our military that we need to secure our freedoms, that to say, hey, this is going to be a good path. I'm
mm-hmm.
going to learn good skills, and I'm going to be appreciated by the community.
And we're going to do what we say we're going to do for you.
Amen.
I appreciate what you do for all the veterans here and all over. I really do.
We're keep going. We got more things up our sleeve, and you know, we're always looking.
Yes.
And always trying to help. And you know, with the PR Foundation and what Nick and I do, and everybody with the, you know, PP Hospitality Group, that's a big, big part.
Oh, never short of ideas. Idea guy, man, sure.
You notice that.
Yeah, you get ideas and you implement them, and it's fantastic. And we appreciate it and appreciate you having us out here today.
Good to have you here.
Good to see you.
Listen in to Ron talking about silver and gold. I go by and see him periodically.
Yes,
he's a good man. Love those guys.
Yes, and so you saw the same thing I did when people go, well, it's off 1.3% in day-to-day trading. I'm like, y'all go look. I was buying silver when it was like $14.
Yes.
And now, you know, from Mobile Bay Coins, it's done just fine.
It's done really good.
Yeah, I'm good with it. Brother, thank you.
Take care. Thank you.
Hey, coming right back, more of Midday Mobile. We are live at the Waterfront Restaurant, and we're going to turn the keys over to Tom Claxton here in just a second with that show that Panini Pete just talked about, the Scuttlebutt Radio Network, and we'll do that coming up. Also, some of the text here. Let's see. Some of the Mardi Gras commentary. This from Calvin. You know, it's been a great Mardi Gras season when the homeless guy turned down the last burger late yesterday afternoon. They were having a big, big time. You know, I saw this too. Speaking of Mardi Gras, so the stats are out. More than 1 million people for Mobile's Mardi Gras over the season. 100,000 plus, I think 125,000 or something yesterday. Great crowd out there. The story that got attention out of Mardi Gras in New Orleans, did you see that? Shia LaBeouf, whatever his name is, got arrested at Mardi Gras. And when I saw that, I said, you know, that's not the first time something like that's happened. So I did a little Googling around. Other than, I did think, and children of the 80s will be with me, other than what the Beastie Boys said when they, remember, in one of the songs here, they said they got arrested at the Mardi Gras for jumping on a float. But Nicolas Cage got arrested. One of the guys from Jackass got arrested. There's several celebrities that have found their way into New Orleans and found their way into jail in New Orleans during Mardi Gras season. So Cheyenne's just part of a bigger legacy. All right, we'll talk about that when we come back with you. And we'll do it at 251-343-0106. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
So welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Ash Wednesday edition of the show. We're live at the Waterfront Restaurant in Daphne, and coming up in just a few minutes, Tom Claxton and the Scuttlebutt Radio Network takes over. Oh, by the way, too, somebody was, I think it was Jason, asking about, asked the sheriff. Yeah, so, you know, that used to be, and it's good. I mean, obviously we got a, people used to it being the second Tuesday of the month over all those years, but there's a, I think it's pretty much because the sheriff is at different lunches and all that stuff, politicking this time of year. And I think a lot of those are on Tuesdays, I guess. I don't know. I mean, people always say, hey, let's go grab lunch. I'm like, yeah, kind of busy during lunch. But we've moved it to the last month, 2 months, to the third Thursday. So that means tomorrow, third Thursday of the month, the sheriff will be on with us starting at noon. All right. Paul said, just wait for the AI disruption. Our deficit now will be a featherweight. You know, there's a, I wish I understood it better. And I'm going to have to, I would call him up again because I need to talk to my niece and nephew, but I got a brother-in-law who is a just brilliant, finance guy at a level like, I think I've explained this before on the air. Like I'll talk to him and say like, what kind of stocks are you looking at? What do you like right now? And he's like, well, one that makes these motions. He has these, has this big office in a home in South Florida, and he watches behavior of the stocks. Like, stuff is out of my league because I'm like, well, what do they make? And like, what's the earnings look like? And he's like, well, no, the stock does this, that, and the other. Well, he's told me there's something that Bessent was doing, and I wish I had a better handle on this, that to move U.S. deficit into cryptocurrency and then something with AI being able to manipulate it to lessen the impact of the debt. I mean, it's at that level, Paul. I can't follow it all, but it sounded real cool. I sat there and drank a beer and said, man, okay, tell me more. But maybe I book him. I wonder if I can. No, he works all. I'm about to say, book my brother-in-law on the show. Let's see. Chris in Orange Beach, be sure to tell Cameron he can always do what Kid Rock did in his song, radio edit. Which is actually a good, that was a great way to say the dirty line without saying the dirty line. The radio edit, y'all, is, it says that in every version of the song. All right, let's see. Michael says, my favorite thing at the Waterfront is the seafood goblet ceviche thing. A little spicy, but it's really good. Well, I like spicy, and that sounds fantastic, and I'm fixing to have lunch here in 4 minutes. So, Michael, thank you for the recommendation. Superbomb. What's up, Superbomb? Said, I don't think Cameron's take is overly hot. I think Rubio, I like Rubio, but I really like Vance. Why wouldn't it be a Vance-Rubio ticket? When Vance's term's out, then it could be Rubio-whomever ticket. I liked, and I liked Rennie ending the Mardi Gras minute. I didn't make that catch last year. Yeah, so we are the Ash Wednesday Moon Pie Minute that we run. You know, Moon Pie Minute runs the whole way through today on Ash Wednesday. And as tradition, the man who founded it and my late friend and our coworker, Rennie Brabner, will always be the Ash Wednesday edition of the Moon Pie Minute. And it's weird to be in a business where I still hear a man's voice that I miss so very much. And I I hear him every year like that, and it does bring a smile to my face. Let's see. Damn Yankees said, did Mobile surpass New Orleans in Mardi Gras shootings? I think yes, because the shooting in Louisiana during Mardi Gras was in Clinton and not in New Orleans. I don't know. I've not been keeping up the stats on that. I mean, we had, you know, I mean, that's the question too that we had Chief Jackson, you know, talking about. It was not the one that happened on Joe K. Knight, it was not a Mardi Gras related shooting. And we can pick at that back and forth and say, would that have gone down if it wasn't Mardi Gras time? Was it another, you know, would have violence in downtown? Would that thing have happened if it wasn't Mardi Gras? I don't know. I think, I mean, that's, there's still more incoming, you know, coming out on that. They're still searching for the gunman, right? It was wounded seven people in this. Police Chief Jackson says the shooting happened just east of Dauphin and Joachim. Seven of the people, five men, two women between the ages of 24 and 30, were either shot or grazed, which grazed is still shot, I would say. Most suffered injuries to their lower extremities or minor cuts. Three were taken to the hospital by ambulance. Four others drove themselves. One person remains in critical condition. And then you had the other shooting, which I think we need to talk about more as we go forward. Maybe we'll talk about that with the sheriff tomorrow. It sounds like somebody was trying to rob somebody else, and the robber is the person who was killed in that one. So more to talk on tomorrow's show with the sheriff. Y'all have a great one, and I'm fixing to eat some lunch. Tom Claxton and the Scuttlebutt Radio Network takes over live from the waterfront next on FM Talk 106.5.